Starscream here, and I am the lord and master of the Geekcast Radio Network. Don't tell Megatron.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. The Geek in You.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Geekcast Radio Network. Wrapping up, putting a bow on it, we're talking one more time, top 100 fictional villains. You've seen the list, you've heard all of the entries, all of the 100 villains have been revealed, so now we want to give a little bit of an opportunity to react to those revelations, to the list overall. We've seen some of your comments, we've been reading up on that. We didn't have a lot of chance to react last episode since we were spending a lot of time revealing those picks, and now that everybody's had a chance to breathe and return to form, now we're going to say, did we do a good job? Did we do a bad job? We'll maybe put a grade on it. And then we'll look at some honorable mentions, some also-rans as far as people that just missed the list or just people that got votes that didn't quite stack up with these rest of these guys and see how we feel about that. But I'm not alone to do that. I am your host, Optimus Solo, but joining me to help out in our reaction wrap-up episode is Movie Revolt Dan. Hello.
Hello.
We also have returning our duo of special guests from the Simplistic Reviews, Mr. DJ Valentine. Hello.
In the immortal words of one of my favorite villains, Otisburg. That's all I got.
Excellent. And of course, Matthew Stewart. Hello.
I can never follow up to his quotes.
I'm sorry, introduce you first.
I know. I feel like it was a missed opportunity because, I mean, I was going to take that one. So, I mean,
you go, Miss Tessmacher!
Yeah, I was just like, Wendy, light of my life. I'm not going to hurt you.
So obviously, guys, the big reveal last time as far as the top 25 went and some of the top, we had the Joker reigning supreme as number one on the list. We had Darth Vader, Freddy Krueger, Hannibal, Moriarty, Dracula. That's kind of your top five or six there. And just kind of putting that into perspective along with the whole rest of the list as far as where these characters came from a time period, source material, just things like that in general. Dan, now that you've had some time to kind of think about the list and see how it all shaped out, how do you think we did? And what's the biggest maybe surprise or did it go as expected? What do you think about the list overall?
I would say, like, the biggest surprise was certainly just the amount of literary characters that we got up front. Like, it seemed to kind of rule supreme. Like, I never thought going into this, we would probably have double the amount of literary characters compared to, like, comic book characters. But that's what we had. I thought overall, like, there, you know, that I think probably got ranked higher than they should be. But, you know, like, looking at the top 25, I don't think there was anything that was glaringly awful or anything like that was super upset about. You know, there are some that are brought up in the comments already that I kind of agree with that we can get into further. But overall, like, considering how broad of a scope this topic is, it was probably the most unexpected or hardest to predict when it came to just the countdown in general.
Yeah, I'd be real curious as to what point anybody would have actually known what the number one was before the number two was revealed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's been previous countdowns where you kind of knew what number one was going to be, you know, at the 25 mark or at the 40 mark or something like that. It was a toss-up for this one, I think, as to what was going to – you kind of knew maybe some of the names that would be mentioned in the top 25, but you didn't know the order and stuff like that. And I would like to point out real quickly that kind of the way we do these lists is it's almost impossible for anybody to rank in the top 25 unless they have some type of universal appeal or – at least universal knowledge from people as far as to who these characters are. It's very hard for any type of niche character to make it into this top 25 material, you know, that kind of space of the countdown. You know, even where we kind of get maybe some more recency bias. Not even that, but it's really hard for a character that's only known by a portion of the population or hasn't quite had the staying power or just kind of the name recognition to really fit there. Even if they were a very high-quality villain, this really comes down to a lot of people, a high percentage of the people participating to put these villains on the list to make it this high. With that being said, Matt, any surprises for you for the top 25? In overall, kind of just looking at the list in general, are you happy with the variety we had, or do you think there could have been even a little bit more variety?
Looking at just looking at the top 25, just in that little segment right mm-hmm. there, I mean, there isn't a whole lot of, I mean, I guess in the top five, I mean, you could have kind of guessed, especially when you were getting into that top 10, you knew where the kind of chips were going to fall, especially with the, and even the top three, I get why the top three, with Joker being one, Vader being second, and Freddy Krueger was a little bit of a surprise at number three. I think he could have been back a little bit further, but I think just because of him being Freddy Krueger, him being funny and scary at the same time, it really hit on a lot of notes. But top 25, I liked the kind of a few surprises here and there. A few I wouldn't have agreed, stemming back from our insect conversation and things like that as well, too. Some of the animals I could have done without, I just don't see villains, animals as villains. Like if we, by just looking at the list, like if Jaws was there, why wasn't something like Cujo there or something like that? You know, that was a killer animal. Was it because he was soft and cuddly, St. Bernard before? Who knows? I don't know. Maybe the Beethoven bias was in effect or something like that. I don't really know, but I always have a lot of fun with these lists when you look at the first half, the bottom 50, because I think that's where you get a lot of really fun villains, people that were kind of like really on the edge, but they have like kind of a cult status to them. So I thought that was a lot of fun just looking at the bottom half, but seeing the top half, especially the top 10, not a lot of shocking revelations, but overall, I think, you know, in coming from people that listen to the podcast and that kind of travel in our circles, you're going to get a lot of that kind of geeky nerdiness of it as well, too. So you're going to get the iconic characters no matter what. But you're also going to get, you know, like I said, in the bottom 50, those kind of very fringe characters that people have that really cult love for, too, which is fun when doing these lists with a very, you know, creative and eclectic group of people doing the list too. So I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, that looking at that bottom 50 is a lot of fun. You know what else is fun for me? Seeing all 635 characters that got votes.
Oh, I bet you loved
it. I had to love some of the people that got written in here. Now, DJ, one thing that we were kind of predicting early on is that the countdown might be dominated by comic book characters and characters that appeared in horror films. Not necessarily the case, but did they redeem themselves by having a horror character in the top three and a comic book character at number one?
Yeah, I think I guess everybody who I thought was going to be on this list horror wise is on this list. There wasn't really like a person, and I think it's more of a testament to the fact that they went really, really higher than I thought. I thought they were going to be like spread throughout, but I mean, when you get Freddy Krueger that high, I mean, no argument for me. Freddy Krueger essentially destroyed my dreams for many, many decades. But I thought I could have been on an island on that. But the fact that he's that high, it just showed. And all these other horror characters as high as they are. I mean, in the comic book characters, I think there might be some missing still. But I mean, you got like a billion comic book characters. But in terms of horror icons, Matt can probably speak on this better than me. I think the biggest ones got named. All of them that got on this list, I believe anyway.
Or Mount Rushmore, if you will, was named throughout the entire list, right, especially the top 25 almost.
Yeah.
Dan, you've been around these top 100s and top 50 lists that we've done, especially the top 100s over time here. One thing that had definitely stood out to me going over this list, and I kind of tried to, maybe ad nauseum, but I tried to emphasize it here in that last episode, was just the sheer number of number one picks that made it all the way to the top, you know, 3, 4, 5 picks. Like, you know, 11 or 12 people still had their number ones revealed in the top one, too. I don't think we've ever seen that type of agreement at the top of the list.
No, when you were saying that, I was kind of assuming that meant a lot of people would not have their number ones actually make the list, because that we have seen before, I think, especially with the TV list. We saw number one shows that didn't make the final cut. I think if I'm not mistaken, like THU and Mike's number one show didn't make it.
Right.
So to see that much consistency, I guess it seems like when it comes to many of these villains, it's the ones that people agree on, they really agree on. so then you end up getting such a high discrepancy between, like, your, you know, when you get a Freddy Krueger, it's like pretty much everyone can agree he's a villain. Well, there's some other characters, like we talked about with, like, say, a Magneto, where some made debates that maybe he's not a villain, so you get some discrepancy there. So I think that's why maybe some of the horror villains tend to fare better because there's usually not, unless they're an animal, a discussion regarding if they're really falling in this, should be counted in this countdown.
And speaking of number ones, we did have a few people that their number one did not appear. So let's get to the first kind of reveal for today as far as some of the inside stuff that we haven't revealed yet. Let's go over those three number ones that did not make the countdown. One of them obviously has been revealed in the comments section on the website, but Mephistopheles from Dr. Faustus or different things that he's appeared in, but that's kind of the most famous thing, did get a number of different votes. So it's not like he was not close to getting in, but did not make the list. That was the first one of our number ones. And I'm going to go over the other two and then get your guys' reaction overall. Another number one that did not get the honor of appearing in the top 100, someone had the Phantom of the Opera at number one. And I'm going to need your guys' help because I believe I had to look this one up, and I believe this is just someone that really must love this TV show. I want to say it's from Serenity, but I might have the wrong show. I have The Reaver Killed Wash.
Yeah, yeah. That's from Firefly or Serenity.
Firefly, yes. Serenity. Okay, so that's just a big Firefly or Serenity fan because I don't know how many votes that character got. But those are the three number ones that did not make the countdown. DJ, start with you. Any reaction to those three?
The Reaver that killed Wash is kind of like a joke vote because, one, you never see that Reaver. Two, it's kind of like if you say the Reavers in general, sure. Then they kind of fall under the Gremlins, Borg type of thing because they're essentially like mutants, zombie, space zombies, essentially. So I can understand that. Big fans of Firefly and, you know, the brown coats and Serenity and stuff like that. I can understand that because that scene, if you've not seen Serenity, I guess already been spoiled to you in the voting. when that happens, it's so like out of nowhere. It scarred a lot of people, especially fans of that show and of course fans of that character. Phantom of the Opera. I gotta rewatch Phantom of the Opera. I haven't seen it since. What's the one with? Is it Gerard Butler? Was it one of them? I can't remember
well,
which.
They
one.
They got the one with Robert Englund as well too.
Right.
So Freddy Krueger played the Phantom too.
Freddy Krueger. I can't ever get my face right.
There you go.
But no, I guess because in terms of a name, everybody knows the Phantom of the Opera. You gotta remind me. That's kind of like the Magneto thing. Is he the super villainous? I can't remember, so I apologize. And
I don't think of that character as a villain myself, but I guess right. It depends on, I guess, your perspective on it. That's why I didn't vote, because it didn't even cross my mind.
Right, yeah.
He was kind of like a pompous character before he became the Phantom and things like that, too. So right, you can look at it from that perspective, but I don't see him as a true villain.
He's like the
villain.
Beast from Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, it's like, would you put him on there because he's mean? Again, I have to rewatch.
Well, he found his way at the end.
What about Mephistopheles from anybody? Any thoughts on that one not appearing in the top 100?
I think I had mentioned that in one of the episodes where I was expecting a Dr. Faustus character, and it could have specifically been Mephistopheles. So, and I know we got a lot, like looking at the comments and everything, we have one person in particular that was a huge Mephistopheles fan. So, I mean, but it would have made sense, but I think it's such a deep cut. Like, it's so deep and people forget about it. It's like, yeah, literally the devil, but maybe we have a lot of like Satan worshippers in the crowd or something like that. It's like, he's a hero. I love him. No, but I think that was a little bit of a missed opportunity. I think he probably would have been top 100 material. Looking at some of the other characters, just for historical purposes, and like Dan was saying, how much literary how many literary characters we got. Right. Kind of shocking that he didn't make the cut at the very end of it.
Yeah, because I would have expected more of them not to, just because I would expect not as many of them to be on the top of people's minds, you know, unless they were just a big fan of certain books or stories. You know, I was surprised, like, with, like, a Long John Silver, for example, like, that many people had him on their mind to vote for that. Something else I'm going to ask you guys here in a little bit, give you guys a second to think about it, but maybe somebody that you guys had on your list, the biggest... I guess snub, as far as you guys think, you know, somebody that you would think that was going to be voted high that didn't make the list. We'll give you guys a chance to kind of sound off and give them their moment of glory. I want to real quick go through what I guess I call the closest, the honorable mentions here, the ones that just missed the countdown, that were fairly close from a point standpoint. One of them missed the countdown by 1 point. So that literally was the difference between somebody putting them at the 100th spot or not. They would have tied. Who did we start off with? Ben Linus, way back when. So that was actually a video game character, but it was the closest to making the countdown that didn't, and that would have been GLaDOS, who we did have in one of the Facebook matchups. You know, very HAL 9000 kind of feel to that character. Have you guys played the game or know anything about the game where you think that maybe should have gotten that point to be in the top 100?
I've never
played. Well, I know, like, it's kind of. Sorry. I know it's kind of a spoiler to know that she's a villain, because in the first game, it's actually not played that way. It's something you kind of learn throughout, which is, I think, why GLaDOS resonated with so many, just because of how it was, like, one of the best twists in games at the time. I think I ranked her. Like, I never really played Portal myself, but when I was researching, I saw she was typically, or I don't know if it would be she, it's a robot, but GLaDOS typically ranked pretty high when it came to most video game characters, and I know there was some love for her in the comics as well, the comments as well. So I probably would just out of sheer for variety's sake put her above Ben Linus, but I'm also not a huge Lost fan, so that could also be a bias on my part.
I want to real quick, I'm just going to name off the names real in kind of rapid succession and then get your guys' reaction. These are the 25 that didn't make it. So if we were to go to 125, who would have been named here? We have Baron Zemo, and Stringer Bell would have been tied. Then we have Alonzo Harris, Auric Goldfinger, Kilgrave, Vegeta, Kingpin, Eric Cartman, Mr. Freeze, Bellatrix Lestrange, Amy Dunn from Gone Girl, Mephistopheles, Shredder, Cell, Brainiac, Daniel Plainview, Doomsday, Tony Soprano, Mr. Blonde, Norman Stansfield, Bane, Lady Macbeth, the Warden from Shawshank Redemption, Hades, Gordon Gekko, and GLaDOS. So that's the 25 closest to making the list. DJ, I'll let you react first. Anybody there that you could now make a case, now that you're thinking about them, that maybe should have been in the top 100?
Cartman's tough for me because there's times where he is definitely the villain. He made a man eat his own parents, but sometimes you got to root for Cartman. So it's almost in that, but again, if he was on this list in the top 100, I would understand, because I mean, he's essentially Kyle's Lex Luthor in terms of always causing problems. And forgive me if I'm missing this, Amy Dunn, who again is this generation's Alex from Fatal Attractions, I put her on my list. Alex is not on anybody else's list. Was she in the top 100? Did I miss her?
No, she did not make the list. She was
that only, is crazy.
She was only on three people's lists.
Oh so. My god! In the immortal words of Sam from fucking Sleepless in Seattle, I saw Fatal Attraction. It scared the shit out of me. It scared the shit out of every man in America. When it comes to women, all right, when you see these little TV shows nowadays, millennials, again, we're going to bring you guys up, and you see, like, a obsessive girlfriend trying to, like, you know, going through your phone, and all of those characters that you see spawn from Glenn Close's character, Alex, from Fatal Attraction. There is not a scarier... Amy Dunn, who I love from Gone Girl, is amazing, but she is this generation's version of Glenn Close's character from Fatal Attraction. It's crazy. She is one of the scariest. Boyle the Bunny was a fucking meme before memes existed.
if we would have to expand our list to include just right around 200 characters in order to get Alex in there. So she would have been right around the 200 mark. Another interesting thing to see here, because it took so long to get comic book characters right, and we had so very few in that first 50 that we revealed. But if we had gone just to 125, I don't know if you guys were keeping track, I just revealed like 7 that would have been right in that group. So we would have had Baron Zemo, Kilgrave, Kingpin, Mr. Freeze, Brainiac, Doomsday. And Bane. So, right. I mean, that was a big chunk, and it would have changed our perspective on kind of how we were looking at the list, I think, a little bit. Dan, are any of those guys worthy?
Simply the comic book characters?
Yeah. Or just anybody else you heard.
I don't know if I would say any of those specific comic book characters per se. I feel like, you know, Kingpin, he's an interesting character, but I don't know if like I would. His best version may actually be the Netflix series, but the one that you mentioned that I would probably speak highly of because he was in my top 10 was Stringer Bell. Mm-hmm. And I kind of make an argument that he's somewhat of an anti-hero as well, but I just find him a fascinating character and a quite a villainous one, because what he does to people that he actually super respects and has like feelings towards, not to get into any spoilers, is pretty villainous. Like, he will pretty much do anything to put himself ahead, but do it in a way where you still kind of like him, and maybe because it's just Idris Elba and he's got such a personality. But he's also kind of just a fascinating character. He's trying to basically remove himself, use the drug game to better himself and kind of screw everybody else over in the process. But I don't know. I always found him a fascinating character, one of the best characters in The Wire. I think you mentioned a couple Wire characters, Marlowe and mm-hmm. Barksdale as well. Barksdale, I probably not as much. He's more of a figurehead than Stringer Bell's more of an interesting character. But I don't know. None of the comic – Baron Zemo is an interesting character, but I don't know if I would put him. Doomsday, not really. He's kind of just like an evil Hulk. And
Hulk has more personality than Doomsday.
True. Doomsday's interesting in the sense of like how he was created, but as a character, he's just kind of there as a big bad. Like, there's not much really to him.
Another thing that becomes interesting too is if you start separating out, you know, genres or properties or mediums and that type of stuff, just to see, you know, regardless of if you think there should be more literary characters or more film characters or more comic book characters, if you just look at comic book characters or whatever it might be, did we get the right ones in versus the ones that were left off? I think that's something interesting too. For anybody that was wondering, you guys each had a question about Marvel and DC that you asked me earlier, as far as who reigned supreme when it came to overall everybody that got a vote. And it ended up actually being real close. So if my count is correct and I didn't miss anybody, and this is not counting those that showed up in the top 100. For those that didn't, there would have been an additional about 25 characters from the DC universe and about 31 Marvel characters.
Wow.
So fairly close, but quite a few. We had other ones that were kind of towards the top here. Apocalypse, Harley Quinn, Red Skull, Sinestro, Green Goblin, Dark Phoenix, Deathstroke, Galactus, Ultron, Amanda Waller, Norman Osborn, Venom. So those were kind of the ones towards the top. But there was a lot of interesting ones, some that I'd never even heard of, that did get some votes towards the bottom. So it's definitely interesting. Another group that I wanted to point out that had some representation in both in the countdown and outside, just looking in, we had 3 Star Wars characters that made the countdown, with Darth Maul, Darth Vader, and Emperor Palpatine. Anybody surprised that – well, I'll let you guys guess. How many characters outside of that at least received one vote?
Well, one of them I know is tattooed to my co-host's arm. I'm assuming Boba Fett has to be had to get a vote somewhere.
I would almost think like maybe all the bounty hunters you see in the Rogues Gallery, maybe. Oh, yeah. But I don't know. That might be too much of a deep cut.
IG-88.
And IG-88 and everything like that. Dengar and everything like that.
Yeah, I thought we'd get a few. I thought we'd get like maybe a couple from the books or, you know, a couple other characters. I didn't think that total number of Star Wars characters overall would have been 14. 3 that made the countdown and 11 that didn't. Mm. I just bring this up because we're on the brink of another Star Wars movie, I guess. But the highest Star Wars character Jabba? Not to make the cut might be a surprise. Maybe some recent.
Was it that guy from Clone Wars with like the hat? Like he looks like an
oh, Cad Bane.
The badass. Bane. Yeah, Cad Bane.
No, the badass. Highest one not to make Adventures? The cut, Kylo Ren.
Really? Huh.
Kylo Ren.
Really? I think that's more recency bias there. Yeah, I mean, I like Kylo Ren a lot. But...
Let me name the ones that came after that. Then we would have got to Boba Fett, then Grand Moff Tarkin, then Jabba the Hutt. Right. Then we get a little bit more Grand Admiral Thrawn. Who else did we have on here? Darth
Thrawn,
Revan.
I think is Thrawn should probably be higher. Darth way Bane, higher.
Count Dooku way towards the bottom of the list. Dooku's the Wampa. The Wampa got a vote. All right.
Wampa.
The
all
Wampa,
right.
Got,
the Wampa
a vote.
Got a vote.
The Wampa got a vote.
Dark was there someone who voted just Star Wars?
No,
did that happen?
No, it could have been. It could have probably done
what else
it, though.
Than Star Wars?
We had Dark Helmet from Spaceballs.
Stormtrooper 1345 in this one.
The traitor Stormtrooper from Force Awakens.
The lowest Star Wars character that received the least amount of votes that at least got a vote would have been Snoke. So someone did vote for Snoke. I want to give you guys a quick chance to sound off before we can get some more stats and things like that. Anybody that you guys voted on that you feel got the snub that you want to highlight? Dan, I'll let you go first. Either one or a couple names.
I kind of already went over the one that stood out to me the most, which was Stringer Bell. But, you know, again, Wire is like one of my all-time favorite shows, so that could also be my personal bias. But
absolutely. DJ or Matt, anybody that you think should have got some more love?
You're reading those Star Wars characters, and other than Boba Fett, which in terms, though he doesn't do as much, he's so, everybody loves that character, and he's so, again,
he's a
iconic.
Badass.
So, and he's a badass, but again, in the terms of the films, he does not that much. Thrawn, I think, now he's getting a resurgence on Star Wars Rebels. If you do any little bit of research on Thrawn, created by Timothy Zahn, I believe, He is essentially, if you cross Grand Moff Tarkin with Sherlock Holmes, he's like a very just tactical genius, and he's a Grand Moff, and as an alien, I mean, the Empire is racist towards aliens, and for him to reach that status proves how good he is. I would have probably, now thinking about it, I would have probably put him on my list. Even, I think I would have put him over Maul, because Thrawn does. There was a Thrawn trilogy of books that takes place, I think, after Return of the Jedi in the novel verse before it all got thrown away. And he's one of the few characters to jump from the now defunct universe, the novel stuff, right, and back into canon, because he is such a interesting character where he's always thinking like five steps ahead, and he carries lizards with him that sucks the force out of you, so the Jedi's can't even F with him. He's awesome. So if I had to get, I would probably put him up there. I mean, Jabba's great, but I mean, as a kind of like a stereotypical gangster that's in space and a lizard, and Boba Fett's in terms of the look of Boba Fett, and you know, just the fact, you know, what he does, he's fine. But I think Thrawn does more stuff, and I know Kylo's on there because, spoiler alert, I guess, he kills probably the greatest character in Star Wars history, and he's very interesting. But I mean, I think I ought to put Thrawn above him, because Thrawn is very confident. Kylo, the greatest thing about his character is that he's battling of what he wants to be. He's right. Not confident in the dark side. He's not confident of, which makes him interesting. But in terms of Thrawn he's a manipulator. I think I'm just drawn toward manipulators. Thrawn is one of the big ones.
Matt, anybody on your list that you want to highlight?
I mean, just kind of harkening back to this, I would take either of the Grand Moffs. I mean, I think Grand Moff Tarkin, I mean, he blows up an entire planet.
That's true.
That's kind of like the first thing you see of him. It's like, you're far too trusting. And as a matter of fact, I'm just going to... a billion people on your planet, so and he manipulates, you know, a lot of people. Even going to like Rogue One, he's a manipulator as well too. Even with Krennic as well too. So I love Grand Moff Tarkin, and Peter Cushing just crushes that role, and he's great in Hammer horror films as well too. So just having him in a film is great. But like, just looking at some of the list too, Dan said, of course, you know, Stringer Bell. I'm more of a Marlo Stanfield fan, just because he is. If you want to talk about like an evil guy, he's like, he had the numbers. He knows what he wants to do. But then he has his two badass like henchwoman and henchman burying people inside buildings. Like, that is, even for Baltimore standards, I'm sorry, Dan, that's not standard operating procedure, Baltimore, right?
just want to make sure.
It's usually the park. It's usually the park because it's, you know.
Okay. I mean, perfect. I just want to make sure, like, you know, I'm coming through, you know.
Big time.
Yeah, exactly. and then he tries to go straight at the end of the show, and he's like, ah, nah, I'm not built for this. I'm going back to the gangster ways. Like,
yeah, I don't. Yeah, he's all. Yeah, I don't disagree. Like, and you hate him too. Like, you at least somewhat. You can also somewhat like Stringer Bell, but Stanfield, he's just a prick. He's just like, you just can't help but hate him.
So. I hate that guy, but I'm intrigued by him at the same time because he's like every single bad character on that show just amplified to 1,000%, like the worst person you would ever want to meet in your entire life. and I mean, there's a lot of people on my list if I wanted to go through them and everything, but just kind of like in the top 25, even the warden in Shawshank, you hate him too. Like, these are characters that you really hate, and I had them both pretty high. And the warden, but his comeuppance is like so sweet. You're like, oh yes. And then Morgan Freeman's little kind of thing at the very end. It's like, you know, the last thing I think that went through his head besides that bullet.
How the hell did
Andy Dufresne climb through a river of shit and came out clean on the other side?
I had a couple on my list that I'll highlight. Some I voted higher than these guys, but for as far as just film love, I had Johnny Ringo from Tombstone on my list. I liked him, and Fernand Mondego from Count of Monte Cristo, I guess, to get another literary character in there. But if I was going to highlight anything, it would have been someone I had way a little bit further down on my list. I thought there might be a chance that we'd get a video game character from this franchise, because I think they do have some interesting villains, even if it is, I guess, just a fighting game. But I thought we might get somebody from Mortal Kombat.
Oh,
maybe,
who are you gonna get though?
I had Shang-Khan Goro or Shang Tsung. I don't know. I just thought maybe somebody would sneak in there, but maybe there's too many.
I think Shang Tsung is the one you go to.
Yeah, though. Even though they're very mustache twirly at the same time. So.
Yeah, I just didn't know if maybe like something like that just has too many villains, so nobody would be able to pick the same one.
They're all villains. Who's the good guy in Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah. Johnny Cage? No, I'm just kidding.
He's a prick.
maybe another interesting thing here. We talked a lot about Disney characters. I'll give you the four closest Disney characters to making the list that did not make it. Actually, the first one might be a somewhat of a surprise. I was going to have you guys guess, but I thought it would take too long to get to it. The closest Disney character to not make the list would have been Lady Tremaine. And that would have been followed by Ursula. And then much later down the list, we would have got to the Queen of Hearts. And then even further down, we would have gotten to Gaston. So I know a couple people thought that maybe the Queen of Hearts or the witch from Snow White, you know, someone like that would have been a little bit higher. What do you guys think as far as the Disney characters? Because we did get some hate as far as having Scar in the top 25. But thinking about the ones that did make the list, how did we do with Disney villains in general?
I think we did. What's the name of the woman from The Rescuers?
The one like the cool necklace and everything with the alligators?
The crocodile dogs.
I believe she got some votes because I think I remember having to look up her name to see who it was.
Yeah.
White trash Disney character.
the Duck Dynasty Disney character. No, Lady Tremaine is probably one that I could probably see going a little bit higher, but I don't. To me, I know Dan is big on the Cruella de Vil. Scar, man. I don't think we messed that up. For me, anyway. I mean, Scar, especially, it's probably Lion King is one of the most beloved fucking Disney cartoons of all time, and you get the villain from that. I think we're fine with that. Other than I can see Lady Tremaine jumping up there because she is at some people's first. Time seeing a villain. Some people's first book or cartoon was Cinderella, so I could see her getting on there.
Yeah, I could see that too. We also had another wrestler that made the list almost. We did get votes for the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. interesting too, so I guess it depends on your take, because there was another comic book character I meant to mention before, but Batman did get a vote. They listed Batman from Batman versus Superman as a villain that deserved to be on the list. So
I think the villain of that movie is Zack Snyder or David Goyer would probably be the villain of that movie.
Speaking of some monsters, we did have King Kong and Godzilla both get votes. Smaug, the dragon from The Hobbit, I guess. People did find a way to get Hitler in there from Kung Fu Fury. And, you know, there's a couple very interesting votes. I might have to release this whole thing to get... There was a ton of Harry Potter people. We had some Looney Tunes with Elmer Fudd and Wile E. Coyote. I'll give away, because I think somebody asked who got the least amount of votes. And I always find it interesting, because the least amount of votes you can possibly get on this is one person putting you at number 100. and that would give you 1 point. And we always get multiple of these. So there was 5 people that got 1 vote. And I don't even know if I know where all these people are from here. Draco Malfoy, obviously, is from Harry Potter. One person had him at number 100. King K. Rool, a video game character.
Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah. We have Bernie Rose from Drive.
Okay.
You guys are going to have to help me out with this one. Shannon Hamilton. I don't know what that...
from Mallrats.
Oh, I should know that too. I should just watch that.
You guys just did your retrospective.
I don't remember the characters' names. And Sun Taran. I don't know if I'm saying that right. That's a Doctor Who character. So those were the 5 at the bottom of the list. Amongst
any six-fingered man on this list?
I do not believe. No, but Prince Humperdinck was.
Okay.
So
I could see that.
Yeah, we did have Prince Humperdinck. There's just a lot of Turtles characters that didn't make the list. Shredder, Krang, Bebop and Rocksteady, a couple other people in the vein of that. A lot of different cult classic film characters and the like. So I might post the whole list just so people can kind of have some fun perusing the different the Mama Fratelli from the Goonies got a mention.
That's a good vote, right?
Was there any love for like general characters like zombies or anything like that that anyone threw?
Yeah. I don't think we had.
Or the Daleks or something like
we
that.
We did have the Daleks in there and the Cylons.
Were the Weeping Angels in there?
Yes, the Weeping Angels. There was actually quite a few Doctor Who characters that got in there. So yeah, the Weeping Angels, I remember you guys mentioning, did show up. Some more cartoon characters like G.I. Joe characters. We had Serpentor, Destro, and the likes of that. President Business and Good Cop, Bad Cop from the Lego
President
movie.
Business. I like that voter.
Speaking of some more kind of traditional literary type characters or kind of folklore, Rumpelstiltskin, I was surprised. I thought Rumpelstiltskin would get more love. But Rumpelstiltskin, Rasputin, Mother Gothel, you know, none of these characters quite making it. We talked about Grendel's mother. She did get votes, but not enough. Oscar the Grouch, just going over
Oscar alone, okay? He lives in a fucking trash can.
We have Macbeth getting a vote for another Shakespeare character, I guess. There's quite a few Dragon Ball Z characters that got at least some votes. A ton of Bond characters that didn't quite make it.
Is Jason Isaacs' character from The Patriot on there? That's another character I really like.
I'd have to look for that name to make sure.
I didn't even know what his name was. I just remember. It's Jason Isaacs from The Patriot.
We have
Colonel William Tavington.
I think William he did. I think he did. I think I remember seeing his name. We have Pyramid Head on there. Yes, absolutely. Lord Humongous from The Road Warrior.
Just walk away.
I think this is the Stephen King. I guess somebody voted for. They just put Mist. So is that the Mist
the movie?
From the movie The Mist? I don't.
The ending of The Mist is the villain of.
Interesting. Nothing too, in The Mist. Just a Mist. A couple of times characters came up and you guys mentioned, well, I thought such and such was more of the villain. Interesting that most of those times those people did get votes, like Captain Ahab from Moby Dick. I know you guys mentioned Stephen. As one of the ones that was maybe more deserving, David from the Alien film. So all those people did get votes. Some more Robin Hood characters got votes. Actually, quite a few Robin Hood characters got votes. Gargamel from the Smurfs getting them. Bluto from Popeye.
Come on, that's a good one.
So there's quite some. Flintheart Glomgold from the
another good one. Who are these voters? I need to give them my hand. High five. Flintheart Glomgold is a deep cut. That's a good one.
You guys, So there's some good stuff on here. Stewie Griffin, I guess, got on there. Dr. Zaius from the Planet of the Apes films.
That's heresy, doctor.
We talked about the Rocky films with Ivan Drago. We also had Apollo Creed get a vote. With the Die Hard film, Simon Gruber got a vote. I got Angelica Pickles from Rugrats getting a vote here. The Poltergeist, some Pirates of the Caribbean villains, Inky, Blinky, Winky, and Clyde all together as one vote. So definitely some interesting stuff here for sure. I wanted to kind of put you guys on the spot a little bit. You were here for the 100 picks. You heard all of those characters. Can you guys name me? There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 creators that had multiple characters that they created show up on the list. So we had 9 people that originated these characters, had multiple people in the top 100. Dan, can you name one of them?
So created more than one?
Yeah, more than one character in the top 100 from their works.
Oh, geez. Man. Shakespeare?
Shakespeare would be one of them. DJ, do you got another one?
Matt Groening?
Technically, yes, but it's hard to say with the one if he actually created him or not. But yeah, if you counted both Simpson characters, I could only find an actual like credited creator for the one character.
Right.
Matthew, another one?
See, Stephen King.
Stephen King, absolutely. We got some more. Anybody else have another one?
Multiple characters.
Disney?
I mean, the mouse, Mickey Mouse.
We got a few that you're just a few that I said multiple times on the show. How about George R.R. Martin?
Right.
J.R.R. Tolkien. And George Lucas.
There you go.
And then depending on which one Stan Lee gets credited for, he would have multiple spots there. Also Quentin Tarantino.
Well, George Lucas did not make Kylo.
No, but he didn't make the list as far as Vader and
yeah, this is a 100 list. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You have Tarantino with the 2 that found a way in there. Robert Louis Stevenson with 2. You already said Stephen King. I have Vince Gilligan. I don't know who that is, but he has 2 people.
Oh, Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Breaking Bad guy. Yeah.
So if he was the creator of both of those characters, Gus and they Walter. Both made it. Yeah.
And X-Files. He did some writing on the X-Files too. So,
those were the best as far as creators of villains, I guess, if you want to say it that way. I have now some of this is a little bit hard because some of these have been played by so many different characters and some have been voiced in different works, but I have at least 3 or 4 actors that appeared that had characters that they played that appeared multiple times on the list. Anybody remember any of those?
Ralph Fiennes got to be on there.
Yep, Ralph Fiennes definitely had a couple people.
Irons, you said Simon, but he's not on the 100.
No, but there was one that
he had Scar.
There was one that had 2 people from films from the same year that came up.
Jack Nicholson.
Sherlock. Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman, yes.
Sheriff of Nottingham.
And Hans Group.
Yeah, we have Kevin Spacey that came up in the record. We have Christopher Lee, if you want to count him, for Saruman, for, you know.
Donald Pleasance. He's got to be on. No, wait.
I think I only have him down one time.
No, you know what? I keep thinking that Loomis is a bad guy, and he's not.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Michael. I'm sorry.
Someone like Jack Nicholson, obviously, if you're going to count, you know, you have to count it. The Joker, Jack Torrance. The likes there. I'm sure Liam Neeson has voiced another person somewhere around the lines to get a second spot, but definitely some interesting things there. A lot of iconic people when you think about it, you know, James Earl Jones, Anthony Hopkins, you know, Bela Lugosi, you mentioned Ralph Fiennes, Alan Rickman, Jeremy Irons. Definitely a who's who when it comes to some of these villains and their appearance there. Anything else that you guys wanted to know or wondering about the list or anything that you want to react as far as seeing overall how, you know, what kind of grade would you give us? Or do you think this was a fun process? Just kind of reactions in general.
I'm kind of surprised that DC did not win on the villains thing because I guess Dan can probably.
I am, to be honest.
Usually they have, like, they're known for, I mean, they do have the number one spot, but they're just known for having better, in print, better villains, you know.
Print.
Just in print. Print. just out of Batman's Rogues Gallery alone, they have some of the best villains
Fair
of
point.
All time. You know, and then Superman, and then, I mean, if you're not even touching Flash's villains, with Captain Cold and, you know, Mirror Master and stuff like that. I'm just surprised that most people went Marvel over DC in terms of those villains, especially with
it probably helps that Marvel has more movies out, and that gets like both the comic fans and the movie fans where some of those. I mean, not that Baron Zemo has been in a movie, but you know, more people know who Thanos is because he's at least in the background and stuff like that compared to Darkseid or, you know, most of the major DC villains.
I'll give you two reasons why Marvel wins that, and you guys have already hit on one of them. One of them would be the Marvel films, and the other would be just the sheer number of villains that people voted for when it comes to the X-Men franchise. Oh. So we did have the Winter Soldier, Bolivar Trask, Hydra, Ego. So let's see here. Some other ones that would have appeared in there. We had Mystique, Hugo Strange.
Well, Hugo Strange would be a DC villain.
I got a couple of them. Kang the Conqueror.
Kang the Conqueror is Marvel, yeah.
Mandarin. I already said Mystique. So, yeah, a lot of the ones that were either on movies or from the X-Men got in there for sure. And then if you include Spider-Man, his villains. Oh, yes.
Yeah, his rogue gallery.
Quite
alone.
A few from his.
He's the only one I think
he rivals Batman.
Rivals Batman, rogues. Right?
Yeah,
because
there was Venom, Norman Osborn, and Doc Ock were all within like 10 to 20 picks of each other.
Right.
And then a little bit later, we had Green Goblin. So yeah, they definitely a lot of appearances from there. I think when it came to DC, if it wasn't like a Superman or a Batman villain, they didn't get a lot of love. It didn't seem like so. It's kind of how that turned out. Dan, what do you think? Was this a worthy project? And how does it stack up to all the other 100 lists that we've done? Do you think we have learned some over the years and had a little less bias? Or did you think a lot of it still snuck in?
I think so. I think if we did this list like 4 years ago, it would be like 90% comic book characters. And like Megatron would be like number 5. So,
yeah. Anybody have a guess as to which decade was most represented?
I gotta say
eighties.
There was 24 characters that originated in the '80s. So that is by far the closest that you would get would be the '90s with 14. But that's a 10 character difference. So 24 from the '80s, 14 from the '90s. Then you gotta go back to the '70s for 12. Then back to the 60s for 10, 8 of them from the 2000s, 7 from the 1800s. I just put them all together. Right. And then you have like a two-way tie with 5 from the 40s and the 50s.
Well, I mean, you had like some of the greatest films that are being remade now, films come out in the 80s. And like G.I. Joe, Transformers... all come out during that same decade. So that, I mean, the '80s in terms of film, I think is the best. I know people will fight me, but I mean, we haven't even talked about Indiana Jones's villains or, you know, Die Hard has got the '80s. You got Predator that's in the '80s. It's so much stuff that happened in the '80s in terms of major films and kind of, you know, recognizable villains and the cartoons that came out during the '80s. This is when people actually watch cartoons, like, you know,
you had a big kids. The big horror boom too, you know.
Oh, and the 80s, and I'm not even talking about the horror. I forgot all about that slasher and everything. Films. Exactly.
And obviously, stuff has been remade for all of time. Like, I mean, you can go back to the '30s and see things that were being remade that existed in the '20s and stuff like that. But it might maybe there was a boom of not just. The amount of content that we got as far as the sheer number of movies, cartoons, television shows in the '80s. But again, maybe comparatively, at least to the '90s, 2000s and 2010s, we started to get seems like at least in percentage wise, a lot more stuff that was already established. You know, they're banking on properties that are already known. Whereas in the '80s, maybe they were a little bit more willing to kind of originate some stuff and try some stuff for the first time. But again, that was also kind of where the height of some of these mediums as far as becoming, you know, big time pop culture. So I don't know. The '80s reigned supreme, I guess, on this one, which wasn't true in some of the past top 100s where we've had the '90s or things a little bit more recent reigning supreme. So I don't know. Make of that what you will. Somebody write a thesis on this and let me know why all that happened. So DJ, you've kind of been participating in some of these before and you've seen some of the other ones we do. How do you like this process, and is there something we need to change when we do these in the future?
No, I liked it. I mean, I think the last one I was on was animated character, and mm-hmm. I think that was way harder because your net has to be so wide. But I think villains is more of a streamlined category, because it's hard to make a villain that sticks to you. When you go cartoon characters, that could be effing anybody, literally anybody. But I mean, the characters we got on this list from 1 to 100, I think are the creme de la creme. And I just like the fact that I could like whatever the hell his name is, Mephistopheles or whatever. Right. I'm sorry, I'm saying his name wrong. But it's group thought. It's, you know, I can put my vote in, I can move him as high as possible, but I cannot influence the voting. I cannot make, you know, if Joker is number one, it's a good damn reason why Joker is number one. If Freddy Krueger is number three, it's a good damn reason Freddy Krueger is number three, because most people did not go to sleep at night because they were haunted by the image of Freddy Krueger. And when you said, give us a list of villains, he was high on their list of multiple people from different walks of life, from who loved different things. So I think it kind of evens out everybody's biases when it comes to in terms of the process.
And I think it speaks a lot too, because if you know, the top three, let's say, for example, Joker, Darth Vader, and Freddy Krueger, we're talking about, when we're making this list, top 100 fictional villains, we're talking about from any medium. We're talking about from any time period. We're talking across a lot of different things that are not narrowing this down. And for those three characters to be on 84 and 92% of all the lists,
right?
Like, that is crazy to me that there's that, you know, that there's someone like that, that just, when you have this wide of a net, that every single person is putting these three characters on their list. Like, that speaks volumes to me as far as their kind of universal appeal, knowledge, and worthiness as a villain. Another thing that we kind of got in the comment section that people, not just on this last episode, but throughout the whole countdown, that's interesting when we do a list like this, is that these characters, at least in some cases, have appeared in multiple things. They've either been, you know, in multiple films. There's been animated versions. There's been book versions. So some of these, it kind of creates an interesting jigsaw here. Like, if there is a really bad representation of a certain character, does that bring them down on the list? Or flip side, if there's just a really good one, does that bring it up? Do you kind of take an average of all the appearances? I think that's something that voters might struggle with as far as where they decide to rank someone, you know, that one bad or that one good version of that character. Does it catapult it one way or make it dramatically fall in the other way? Dan, you know, obviously, especially with some of these in the top 25 that have appeared in multiple things, like the Joker, or, you know, like we had the conversation about Lex Luthor and stuff like that. Do you think, what's the right way to go about a character that's appeared in so many different forms?
I kind of go with an average, or I look at the purest form, like when that character's working. Because, like, I, for example, my number one was Dracula, and there's been a lot of bad Dracula movies, probably more bad than good, to be honest with you. But you know what happens when you have a character that's basically in the public domain, so you can do whatever you want with them. And but you also kind of look at, like, why is there so much of that? Like, what there's something about that character that is inspiring so many interpretations, and even when there are bad ones, more will come along. So I don't think you can necessarily dismiss the bad versions of them, because they're there, but I tend to, you know, I feel like the good should outweigh the bad and potential, and, you know, like, when they're working, that's usually how I ranked it. Like, that's why I ranked Dracula number one. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I went about it.
Yeah, and obviously every voter has different criteria that they use in order to create that. We tried to talk about that a little bit in the introduction. So I think it does add to a diverse list that does hopefully eliminates as much bias as we possibly can, even though we are all in, you know, somewhat of a similar age bracket, I guess. So we're pulling from somewhat similar experiences, give or take 5 or 10 years. I would like to give a shout out again one final time to all the 25 that contributed. I've also had a request from the website that we publish the actual 100 list. I'm going to probably make a post where we list the top 100, and then I'll find a way to get you guys the information on all the different crazy people that did get votes in some way, shape, or form. But as far as people from the Geekcast Radio Network, I just always said Geekcast Radio and didn't give them any, like, name recognition. So I'd like to give a shout out to those guys that helped us out here. Tune Master Tim, he's been a guest on the show. Obviously, Steve was with us for a bunch of the episodes. We had Kristen, who does some of the board games and stuff like that, talk for us. We had Eduardo We had Fridley Scent and Hard Candy Mandy, the two Cinema Geek co-hosts with me and Dan. We had TV's Mr. Neil, JT from Saskatoon. So thanks all to the GeekCast Radio family for providing the list. We had Behind the Voice Actors, Pop Culture Case Study, Following Films, Simplistic Reviews, obviously well represented, Mild Mannered Movie Men, The Countdown Podcast, Beside a Geek, David Baruffy, Kevin Wright Stuff, Blokebusters, In Session Film, Real Films. I think I hit them all. So they're there. We're going to also put a link on the website to all their different websites and contact information so you can check out what they have to say in general on movies or geek things that they are writing blogs about or podcasting about. And don't worry, guys. Just because this Top 100 is over does not mean there's not more list fun in the future in the form of Top 50s, Top 100s. We're working behind the scenes on some stuff that I think you guys will definitely enjoy. So you'll have to wait until 2018, but there's going to be some fun lists, and I think DJ and Matt, you're going to like at least one of them that I think is going to be some real creative
stuff that
people might come up with. And, you know, last time we put up a poll and let kind of people decide. I don't think we're going to be putting up a poll again, but it's a possibility. But there was a lot of also-rans in that poll that received a lot of votes, and we've received comments on some lists that people wanted to see in the future that were options on that poll. So maybe we will get to that in 2018. So I'll kind of leave that a mystery for now. But there's definitely more fun stuff coming. The next fun thing that we will be doing at GeekCast Radio is our year-end show where we kind of recap 2017, which will lead us right into our awards. So we will be doing another version of the GeekCast Radio Awards in the spring, where you guys get to vote on things that you liked from 2017 and movies and TV and cartoons, comic books, and we even let you guys turn the focus on us and vote on a bunch of stuff GeekCast Radio related and let you tell us what you like and dislike that the network does. So that should be fun. So look out for that. DJ Matt, one more time, where can people listen to you more?
SimplisticReviews.net. You can search us on iTunes under Simplistic Reviews, TuneIn, Stitcher, the dark web.
That's the best place.
Best place for us. YouTube. Just look Simplistic Reviews and ignore all the advertisements for Hitman. Just go through all that and just hit Simplistic Reviews and we'll be right there.
Excellent, excellent. Dan, anything that you got coming here? We're kind of getting towards the end of 2017. I know you and I usually do some fun stuff at the end of the year or at the beginning of the year. What can you kind of tease right now for people to watch out from you?
Well, right now I'm working on probably the biggest project I do each year. I started it last year, and I do it again this year, which I'm going to be counting down the top 100 comics, or my version of top 100 comics of 2017. So that's just my own personal list that will be coming out in written form for those that like to read. But that should be hopefully coming out someplace around mid-December, early December. I want to put it out a little bit earlier this year, but I got some reading to do, and there's a lot of books, so...
Yeah, that's a crazy immense project. The top 100. He's not talking top 100 comics like over a long period of time. He's talking about just from this last year. So that's a lot of reading. So if you're wanting to get into comics or you're already into comics, that's definitely a post you want to check out. And if you really just want to hear Dan and I talk incoherently more, you can tune into the Cinema Geeks, where we are currently going through the Kevin Smith retrospective, as well as trying to eventually get finished with the video game film a series that we've been doing. We've been watching them, so you guys don't have to. We have a few video game films yet to cover, and then we'll have to determine what's the best video game film that's ever been. DJ, do you have an opinion on that? What's the best video game film we've ever had?
Mortal Kombat! Din, 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 din. Sorry.
Absolutely.
So you have to wait to see if that reigns supreme or if there's a dark horse amongst it. There's a big brawl at the bottom, though, let me tell you.
It's a brawl. It's a big brawl of shit at the bottom. Yeah.
So, you just think it can't get worse, and then it does.
Yeah, every time it gets worse. So that's stuff that you can look out for from us. But definitely keep tuned to geekcastradio.com. Check out the Facebook page, and they will keep you up to date with all the cool stuff that is coming. DJ Matt, one more time, thank you very much for the hours and hours that you guys have given us over the course of this countdown. Look forward
to on this side. It's okay.
Look forward to talking with you guys again. That is 100% for sure, because it definitely leads to some fun conversations and a lot of villain quotes. I don't know what you're going to do next time, DJ, depending on the list. You're going to have to come prepared with some quotes for us.
Miss Tessmacher! I have nothing else. That's it. That's last one I got.
All right, guys, we hope you enjoyed it. And as always, leave the comments on the website, Facebook, or Twitter, and we'll interact with you, and we'll keep the conversation going. Until next time.
Maybe you should play something else.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Flawless Ensemble.